knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom, Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend Nick Sewell, singer, bassist of the amazing rock band Biblical. They just released their new album, The City That Always Sleeps. Get it. It's awesome. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been just so much fun to go back to these, you know, to go back to that era. It was such a hopeful era, you know, to revisit these Three's Company episodes.
Very true. So
it's like,
very true.
You know what I mean? It's like, I know we were living under the threat of nuclear Armageddon because the Cold War was going, but it's still a pretty cheery time, you know?
Yes. Everybody's just trying to hook up with everyone else.
Everybody's just trying to hook up. You know, the economy's doing good. Gas is cheap. You know, like America, man.
Yeah.
America.
Well, this one is season 3, episode 3. The Love Diary. It aired September 26, 1978, directed by Dave Powers, written by Gary Belkin and Deborah Huang. Chrissy gets a job typing an erotic manuscript for an anonymous writer named Wanda X. Mr. Roper reads the manuscript and is convinced Chrissy is in love with him. What did you think of The Love Diary?
I thought there was some stuff I liked about it. I thought that the pacing was a little bit off in this one.
Oh, really?
I thought the Roper, like the stuff with the Roper, that's when the pacing was off. For me.
Right. For me. Right. I like the idea of this erotic manuscript. It's that little risque element that they've thrown into this episode, which, you know, is becoming almost a signature thing of Three's Company. And I said this a few episodes back that this was the risque show of the time. This is what all the kids and all the hip people watched, I think, at the time.
Yeah, it's true. And you even look at like the central conceit of the show that, you know, Jack's only allowed to live there because he has to pretend he's gay.
Yeah.
Like, you think of that for the time, like that's a, you know, that's risque.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
For for primetime TV.
Yeah,
because like this was like an 8 p.m.
Oh, super
like Friday show. Like what was the slot that it was?
Super primetime. I don't know offhand. I could look that up, but that does definitely measure up. I do remember it got slotted from 8:30. It moved to 9:00. When it was seriously, but that could have been other seasons, if I remember correctly. But I don't remember in 78 where it was slotted offhand.
Was it NBC?
No, it was ABC.
ABC, yeah.
Yeah. So one thing I noted about the episode was how, you know, Janet in the last episode, good old reliable Janet, just seems like kind of stuffy and nerdy and whatever. But right off the top of this episode, we find out that Janet has many suitors too. There's Chuck, there's Tim, there's Michael, there's Roy. There's all these guys that she's like, she's juggling as well as Jack does, you know, with the ladies. So that's an interesting thing about Janet. We don't really focus on, you know, how much of a player Janet is, but on this episode, she seems to be one.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a revelation.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it was interesting.
But maybe that, you know, so that maybe means that they took the opportunity, what they started to develop in the previous episode, expanding Janet's character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess we'll just have to see if that plays out in subsequent episodes.
That's an interesting point, because maybe the writers were at the time thinking, okay, she attended the nudist demonstration, she's not as stuffy anymore, let's give her a few boyfriends.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, maybe we were boxing her in and we need to, like,
yeah,
you know, expand her, you know, she can be a more versatile character.
Yeah, yeah, I absolutely. Yeah, and this is, I can't remember the year where the happy hooker became like a famous person, right? What's her name? Alexandra Hollander or whatever? But this Wanda X character seems to fit that kind of mold, or right around that 1978, where, you know, like the 70s were, you know, it's all about sex and disco and cocaine, and Wanda X seems to be right there.
Yeah, definitely. She's got that real Lower East Side feel about her writing.
And then
I want to know, I wish they had two things that I wish that they had, you know, addressed a little more deeply. Did we have any clue that Chrissy was that good a typist?
Well, she was.
Is there precedent for that?
Yeah. In earlier episodes, she is. It's revealed she's a secretary.
Right.
That's her day job.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like, yeah, suddenly she breaks out the typewriter and starts typing one letter at a time.
I was never clear on what anybody did. Like, I know that, you know, Jack likes the cook, and as it goes on later, deeper into the other episodes, he gets that restaurant and stuff, right? But
Janet was the manager of her flower shop.
A flower shop? Okay.
Did they
address that in, like, when they changed, like, the opening title sequence later on? Do we get that later?
I don't think.
Deeper into it?
No, actually. As the series went on, they didn't delve too deep into Janet's job. It was always assumed she was still at the flower shop. And yeah, and then other characters came on and they were they had other jobs. But Chrissy never moved forward from the job of secretary.
Right.
Yeah. But that's why it makes sense when she's getting this extra job on the side to make extra money, she's typing. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't clear on that.
Yeah. No, it's a good observation to make that. Yeah. How do you throw this typewriter at this character randomly?
And, cause she seems quick too, right? You know what I mean? Like towards the back end of the episode, she's like cranking out pages. I'm like, okay, well, you know, and you know, it's like, typing's not easy. It's hard, especially in that era, you know, it's like where it's like whiteout and stuff like that. It's like, you know, you had to be good.
Well,
so there's that. And then they only touch on it very briefly, how she receives this manuscript, you know, like she gets it in the mail.
Right.
So like, right. I'd like a little more logistical color, you know, on that. Does she have a PO box? Like, did she place an ad? Like,
I believe she placed the ad at the grocery store.
So she just pinned it up on a billboard.
Yeah, I think they say that in the episode. I should rewatch it to make sure. But yeah, there was an ad. She did place an ad, and this was the response. How it was given to her, the PO box thing. Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it was sent to the apartment.
Now, here's another thing, though, too. Would you be prepared to send your only copy to this random person? Like, you find that you're let's say you have your own manuscript of racy material.
Yeah.
And you're like, God damn it, I need somebody to type this up. You happen to be shopping one day. You come across this ad on the community bulletin board. Would you just drop it in the mail?
Yeah. Like,
it's an incredible amount of trust.
That's another.
He's never going to see it again. Like, my salacious material. It's like, next thing you know, it's a bestseller. It's like 50 Shades of Grey. You never see a penny.
So true. It's such a detail that I think everybody kind of casually turned the other cheek.
Hey, listen, man, if the writers are going to, like, they're going to leave these threads hanging, I'm going to pull them. You know, and that's just who I am.
I just wanted to, I'm also willing to turn the other cheek. I just want to see what Roper does.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I want to know. Yeah. But Wanda X turns out to be Clarence Springfield, played by Paul Barcelou.
And okay.
He did return to the series as another character later on in another season. But this dude is very familiar to everyone because he did have bit parts in lots of 70s TV shows and especially okay. sitcoms like Maude, Mr. Belvedere, My Three Sons, Bewitched, Silver Spoons, Laverne and Shirley. So the guy's...
Yeah, the classics.
Yeah.
He gets around.
Yeah. His face is familiar. But... Not as one.
He's ping-ponging all around, like TV America.
Yeah, he's hitting all the good ones.
Yeah, Vern Shirley. It's like Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of flying in TV America.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it, man. That's
Hold on a second. I feel like we haven't even talked about Mr. Roper's reaction.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, like. his eye, you know, we've already established that he's an eye dancer.
Roper, right,
from last episode.
Yeah,
Roper, he's an eye dancer. And by God, do his eyes dance in this one, you know. when he puts it together that Chrissy's in love with him, he's ready to leave his wife. Like, that's a huge thing.
Well, that's
a huge thing.
He wanted to kick the kids out.
But that's where he gets there. But at first,
yeah.
At first, he's like, he's ready to make a move. It's a giant thing for his character, you know.
Well,
and, even when Mr. and Mrs. Roper go to confront Chrissy about it, I feel like. You know, I feel like that future isn't set in stone yet. It could go either way.
Well, it's interesting that he was going to kick the kids out because he probably wouldn't be able to control himself if they stayed, right? I mean, like,
yeah,
if it was true, he would not be able to control himself and he would have an affair with Chrissy if this thing was true.
I don't know. That's what I mean, right? It's like in that moment, it could have gone either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's heavy.
Yeah. So even though Roper kind of, you know, he gets praised for being a loyal husband, is he?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we saw him in the previous episode, like, totally creep out in the worst way with binoculars, like, you know, like takes binoculars. like how much detail did he need? You know what I mean?
Imagine doing that today.
You don't know what the we don't know what the magnification is on those binoculars. Like,
well, it was 78, so it couldn't have been too powerful, but it powerful enough.
I don't know. But that was a weird moment. And I don't want to keep jumping back to that previous episode, but it's like I feel like we learned so much about, like, the, you know, they're giving us tidbits. We have to shade these characters delicately. You know, and try and deduce their motivations. But, you know, he was ready to leave Helen. That was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there was any ever doubt that it was going to work out the way it did, but...
One thing
I'll say about it, too, is, like, I love when he's trying to, like, invoke the reaction from Chrissy. about the, you know, and he does that little shoulder thing like a couple times, like he nudges her with the shoulder. He's like, oh, again, then more eye dancing.
Oh, he is. I mean, Norman Fell. I mean, that's he. Yeah,
that's his move.
That's yeah, that's it's move. Like classic. I don't know anyone who can do it like he can today. I mean, yeah,
no.
Although it's getting ahead
Don
of the, yeah, I was gonna say, if there's anyone who can handle it, it's Don Knotts. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I can already see the casting, like the casting office being like, my God, what do we get? Like, I know just the guy.
Yeah, right.
I know just the guy. We need an eye popper. I know just the guy.
Oh man. But yeah,
there's only one man who can
fill. And I think they're right. There was only one. I mean, God. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves because
we are gonna go. Can I just ask a question though, a generic question?
Yeah.
Are you a Roper man or right. a Furley man?
Right. I'm a Furley guy.
For sure. Absolutely. One hundo P. 100 P, Mr. Furley.
Oh, he is the best. But that's it, man. Well, Nick, thanks a lot for knocking on our door. And
my pleasure.
The door is always open for you to return to the Regal Beagle podcast.
All right. Let's beagle again soon.